the Acts of the Apostles and stuff that happened after Jesus had ascended into heaven. So last night I don't know, beating my head against a wall, I guess, trying to figure out what I was going to talk about tonight. And I just figured I left my Bible at church. I couldn't even study. I didn't know what to come up with. I had a bad case of writer's block. So I figured God really wanted me to talk about Acts because that's what I started about the first time. So we're going to do the end of the every month series on Acts. So kind of like we do Luke. So between me and Pastor, we should be able to cover the whole Bible eventually. So if you want to turn to Acts. Okay. Before we begin, let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for the word that you gave Pastor, Lord God. Let it be a blessing. And Lord God, just let us be able to meditate on your word, Lord, and to receive it, Lord, and to let it bless us in our everyday life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. In Acts 1, it says, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, concerning all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up. And after he had given commandments through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he presented himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs." And we all know that Jesus walked around and spoke with the apostles and showed his wounds to them and was showing everybody that he was alive and well, not the devil lost. To whom he presented himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, appearing to them for 40 days, and speaking concerning the kingdom of God. Being assembled with them, he commanded them, "Do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, of which you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now." Number one important thing, waiting on God. A lot of times we're in a generation where everybody has instant gratification all the time. Like they always want something, they get it. It's hard sometimes when you got to wait on God because you don't know what's going on. You start getting worried and freaking out. I do a lot. I mean, I've had a lot of issues come up in my life where I just don't know what to do. And I pray and I pray and I pray. And it seems like, you know, like you're banging your head against the wall. But if you just wait on God and just trust in him, that's the most important thing to do. When they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be," excuse me just one moment, "you shall be my witness in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So you have the apostles who have been walking with Jesus and seeing all his wonderful miracles, everything that he did. And now they're a little lost and confused, I think. I mean, Jesus just went up into heaven and he just, you know, gave them the command to go preach to the whole earth, to share the gospel with everybody. I remember when I was in Texas about to go do truck driving. I was with my brother. I'd never been out of the state by myself before. And, they gave us trainers to go out with on the road. And they gave my brother a trainer, and they left me in Texas for 2 weeks by myself. I'm like 21, never been out of the house, and, you know, never been out of a state by myself. And I just know how lost I felt right there. I almost cried when they said, "Oh, well, Chris, you got a trainer. Bobby, you're going to have to stay in Texas for 2 weeks by yourself in a hotel." And I was like, oh, man, you know, I just felt lost. So, I mean, I know that they probably felt lost with Jesus going, you know, just they thought he was going to be around forever. They thought he was coming to restore the kingdom of Israel. They thought that the Messiah was going to come back and restore, you know, Israel and the kingdom. Then they didn't understand that he had a different plan. And when he had spoken these things, they looked, and he was taken up, and the clouds received him from their sights. And while they looked intently toward heaven as he ascended, suddenly two men stood by them in white garments. And they said, "Men of Galilee, why stand looking toward heaven? This same Jesus, who is taken up from you to heaven, will come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." Amen. That's what I'm ready for right there. Could you imagine just being there and watching them just like gawking up at this guy? And the angels, two angels came down and said, "Hey, quit looking up with your mouth open. You look goofy. You need to start doing what God had commanded you to do." So then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is a Sabbath day walk from Jerusalem. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. And this is a really important part of Acts. Right here, it's just showing that these apostles, these friends and everybody that's followed Jesus that are up in the upper room, I think it was like 120 or something like that, wasn't it? They were all in one accord. They were all praying the same thing. They were in agreement. There was no bickering. There was no, you know, they weren't mad at each other. They weren't feuding about anything. They were in one accord. They wanted what Jesus said they were going to, he was going to send them. And I think it's important as a church today that we be like that, that we be in one accord. We're family. I mean, Jesus pretty much, in short terms, pretty much said that once you, anybody that leaves their family for the kingdom, you know. So sometimes we leave our biological family, but our church is our family. I mean, we're here when the rest of our family are doing, we can't, you know, they're not wanting to receive the word. You know, we're always here for each other. I mean, when we have problems, we turn to each other. We pray for each other. We love each other. You guys are just as much family to me as my real family, like my biological family. So I may call Pastor before I call my mom, or text him to pray before I talk to my mom, because you guys are family, and that's how we should be. We shouldn't look at each other as acquaintances, or, you know, somebody that you just see at church every, you know, twice a week. So I think it's very important that we become close and just look at each other like we're biological family, because when we go to heaven, there's not going to be a difference, and we should treat everything here like we're already in heaven. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brother. And in those days, Peter stood up among the disciples. And here it says the number of people together is about 120. And said, "Brothers, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit previously spoke by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became the guide to those who seized Jesus. For he was numbered with us and took part in this ministry." Even though Judas did what he did, the apostles still didn't say anything bad about him. I mean, they know he's the one that delivered Jesus, but they didn't call him a scoundrel or a scum. Or, you know, he did. He fell into the hands of Satan, pretty much. Jesus knew his heart, and he probably knew what Judas was going to do, and he loved Judas anyway, too. See, and now the man had purchased the field with the reward of his iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the middle, and all his organs spilled out, and it became known to the residents of Jerusalem. So this field is called, in their dialect, Akeldama, which is the field of blood, and I believe it's still called that today. So, and it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation become desolate, and let no one live in it, and let no one take his office. Or, I'm sorry, let another take his office, forgive me. Therefore, one of these men who have accompanied us with the Lord Jesus went in and among us, beginning with the baptism of John until the very day that he was taken from us. There's another thing that speaks to me. Jesus has a plan and a purpose for you, and sometimes you go astray and you do wrong. And it's best to just do what God wants, because he'll raise somebody else up in your place to do what you were supposed to do in the first place, to take your place. So I want to do what God wants me to do when he asked me the first time. So. Okay. Let's see, where was I? Okay, he was taken up from us, and one of these men must be with us, a witness of his resurrection. Did I skip too far? Okay. So they proposed to Joseph, called Barabbas, who was surnamed Justice and Matthias, and they prayed, you, Lord, who knows the heart of all men, show which of these two you have chosen to take the place of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, to go to his own place. Then they cast lots, and the lot fell on Matthias. So he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Okay, that was the introduction of Acts, pretty much. So it gets a little bit more, it gets better. And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like a mighty rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues of fire being distributed and resting on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them to speak. So they were all praying, and in came God and the Holy Spirit and rested upon them. I think it'd be amazing for that experience. They're lucky to have that. The Holy Spirit is very important in our lives. It's like, he should be the first thing you know, when you get up in the morning, it's like, hello, Holy Spirit, how you doing? You know, you always want him around. He helps you make your decisions through the day. He helps you walk out the things that you need to walk out. He should be in your ministry and just your life. You shouldn't do anything without talking to him first. You should have that close relationship. So, now dwelling in Jerusalem were Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. When this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were confounded, because each man heard them speaking in his own language, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying to each other, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia? Okay. Pontus in Asia, Phrygia, those are some hard words for me and I read all day, and Pamphylia, Egypt and the regions of Libya near Cyrene, and the visitors of Rome, both Jews and proselytes. The Holy Spirit showed up and he said, I don't care about language, I don't care, you know. Here, I'm going to help you get the word out. I mean, that was God's pure power on them. Like, there was no boundary. They might have not known what they were saying, but God knew what they were saying. So. Cretans and Arabs, we heard them speaking in our own language, the mighty works of God. And they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to each other, what does this mean? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. That's like the world. There's always the skeptic that has something to offer for an explanation. So, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, Men of Judea, and all you who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to my words. For these are not drunk, as you supposed, since it is the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. So I think the third hour is, what, 9 o'clock in the morning? So it's 9 o'clock in the morning. They weren't drunk. They were drunk, but with the Spirit of God. So they were only half wrong. And in the last days it shall be, says God, that I will pour my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my maidservants and maidservants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and the signs of the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and glorious day of the Lord comes. And whosoever calls on my name, on the name of the Lord, shall be saved. There's always a little bit of prophecy. It seems like in a lot of the books of the Bible, like all leading up to the final days. I think that this is coming. I think it's already started, really, the prophesying, and he's going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. I think there's a reformation coming to the church that we're not done. We're not down and out yet. So I know that the end's coming, and it's already started, but Jesus is looking for people to stand up and to pull people out of the flames before it's too late, because he didn't just say, oh, it's over. It's the end, you know. I'm just whatever. He's going to pour out his Spirit on everybody. And there's a lot of people out in the world that are hurting and still need Jesus today. A lot of them in our own families. Some of us are friends. And it's hard sometimes just to get the boldness, or they just don't listen. So, very important that you try. Because I don't want to be held accountable for not trying. So I don't want Jesus to ask me why I didn't. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth was a man attested to you by God with powerful work and wonders and sign which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. You have taken him who was handed over to you by the ordained counsel and foreknowledge of God, and by lawless hands have crucified and killed him, whom God has raised up by loosening the pool of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life, and you will make me full of joy with your presence. Psalms, I really like Psalms. David was a man after God's own heart, and that was one thing I thought about preaching about as well, as being after God's own heart. The things that made David a man after God's own heart was that he was quick to repentance. He trusted in God no matter what. Even when he was in his lowest places, he was still praying. He was still calling out to God. He always trusted in God. But he was really quick to repentance. When he messed up, he was quick to turn around. And that's what made him who he was. And right here, he always seen the Lord at it, you know, with him, no matter what. And that's a good thing to do. I try to, you know, God's always with you. Jesus is always there. I try to imagine him there with me all the time. Like, he's there. Why not see him there, you know? It'll help you out. You have a less tendency to, you know, yell at people, flip people off, do things you shouldn't do. You know, things that aren't so good, because you know he's there. You know, he's always watching. He's always making an account. He's always telling you can do better. He's not there to be mean to you. And brothers, I may speak confidently to you concerning the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us today. But being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of his seed according to the flesh he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he foresaw this, and spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. God raised up this Jesus, of which we all are witness. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David has not ascended to the heavens, yet he says, the Lord said to my Lord, set up my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel assuredly know that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both with the Lord and Christ. The Holy Spirit was speaking to the Jewish people right here, saying that you crucified God, you know. This cut them deeply, I'm sure. I think we're all a little responsible, though. So it kind of, whenever Jesus is crucified, he's crucified by them, but for us. So we're responsible, too, because of our sin, our sinful nature. And yeah. Let's see. And we're only going to go on to 3, I think. So, I mean, I want to kind of, I know this is kind of slow, but I want to get into the better stuff of Acts. I mean, this is like the opening. It's still good, too, though. When they heard this, they were stung in the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, brother, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and your children, and to all who are far away, and many as the Lord our God will call. Sometimes cutting somebody, you know, with the Holy Spirit's what brings them to the Lord. With many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly receive his words were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. So nothing beats the power of the preaching of the Holy Spirit. And he's the one that's going to convict them. It's not by the knowledge you got in your head, or it's what the Holy Spirit has to say. He knows the words to use to bring people to God. So that's why it's important to be with the Holy Spirit and to have him with you when you minister. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came to every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. This is the life among the believers right here. They were constantly in fellowship, breaking bread, eating together. I don't know if a lot of you guys know, but the early church was a lot different from the church we have today. So usually it was held in somebody's garden. Like they had a door and then it went out, you know, to their home, to their garden. And there would be a bunch of people there, tables set up, and they'd be eating and talking and just having a good time and fellowshipping and loving one another. And they would do this for a long time. And then they would light candles, and that was their way of getting, you know, welcoming the presence of God to, and they would pray, and they would just be together, pray for each other, pray for things that they needed, and they didn't need a lot because God was taking very good care of them, because they were following God, after God, with their whole heart. Like, they were serious. They wanted nothing more than to see the face of God, to be with God, to do what Jesus asked them to do. They took all their belongings. They gave, you know, they sold them and gave the money to everybody. Like, it was just, I don't know. They were truly in love with God, and they were truly in love with their family. and all who believed were together and had all things in common. They sold their property. Well, I just talked about this. Sold their property and goods and distributed them to all according to their need, and continued daily with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So this is a good example of, you know, the early church is how we should be today. We need to come together and be a family and, you know, be in one accord and be of one heart with each other, and God will grow us. I think that there's a not, I'm not saying our church, because I think our church is pretty great, you know. We're pretty nice to each other. We love each other. There's a lot of discord in churches nowadays. The devil gets in and he tries to break them up. So, like, we can't even, it's like me and Pastor were talking about not too long ago. It's like, once you try to interact with another church, even though we should be of the same, mind, same heart, they're like, you know, they have their own thing going. They don't want to let anybody else in. And we should be able to get together with everybody and just, you know, it should be no different than us hanging out. We're all Christians. We're all brothers and sisters. We're all praising the same Jesus is what, I don't know. I wish that sometimes people would let go of their petty stuff and just come together. Because if everybody came together in this town, every church came together in this town, there'd be a revival. There'd be a lot of souls saved. I guess that's all I have for you today. I'm sorry it was a little short, but we'll continue on. It does get a lot better. I always do a challenge when I preach, and my challenge today is that we be closer, and we be more of one heart, be more family-like. We do a pretty good job here, I think. We should be in constant fellowship and loving each other. So, I guess we'll pray. You want to come up, Nola? Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together, Lord God. Thank you for our family. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We just love you so much, Lord God. I want to thank you for my church, Lord God, and for my church family, Lord God. They're amazing. They're wonderful people, Lord God. Be with them through the week until we make it to Wednesday, Lord God, and on further. Show us your love and your compassion, your grace, your mercy, Father. Be with those that aren't here with us today, Lord God. Give them comfort, love, healing, Jesus. We love you so much. Thank you so much. Amen.
Oh, let the Son of God enfold you with His Spirit and His love. Let Him fill your life and satisfy your soul. Oh, let Him have the things that hold you, and His Spirit